Looking to keep up with recruiting trends and headlines? You're in the right place. Welcome to Career Crossroads, the premier talent acquisition community with your host, Chris Hoyt and Jerry Crispin.
Hi, Chris Hoyt here with Career Crossroads, and I've got one of the latest headlines that are out on the website, cxr.works. For those of you who might be new to the podcast, we actually do an audio version of many of the headlines that we put out there, and it's just for those folks who may not have the time to read the full article and may just want to listen to a lot of the content while they chug along on a treadmill or maybe sweat in some sort of California dance class. So the idea we're going to talk about today, or the topic that actually came up, is who's actually writing the job descriptions nowadays. Now, you can ask any talent acquisition professional who writes their organization's JDs, and you really don't get a straightforward answer. Now, we posed that question to our CXR Exchange, as well as our attendees at one of the colloquium meetings we had recently, and we got a number of responses back. And well, we found a couple of different scenarios. You know, HR writes the official job description oftentimes, and the recruiter creates some sort of summary that's a little more candidate-friendly. We've heard that HR and hiring managers create those JDs together, and then the recruiters go back and translate those into a job post. And we've even had some folks just sort of throw their hands up in the air and say, you know, we really need to do a better job at this. Our job descriptions aren't so sexy. Now, we have posed a question, the same question, we did it in 2017 and 2018, that actually asked members of our colloquium meetings who usually writes the job descriptions that are visible to the external candidates. Now, the options that we gave them were A, the recruiter, B, the hiring manager, C, someone in compensation. Yes, believe it or not, compensation still writes JDs. And then D, someone else, I'll explain. Now, one of the things that was sort of a call out to me is in 2017, 30% of the recruiters were reported to be writing the JDs. But in 2018, only 18% of the recruiters were reported to be writing job descriptions. Now, this year, just over half of the group, so in 2018, said that the hiring manager takes on the job description responsibilities. That's an increase over what the group said in 2017. Now, perhaps the most interesting increase, however, was the I'll explain option. Small group of employment brand managers, these EB managers, who've inserted themselves into that process aggressively, most often writing some sort of an intro, right, to the JD, but sometimes even taking notes from the hiring manager and writing the entire things themselves. Employment branding wants these job descriptions to be consistent with their brand, but more than that, they really want these job descriptions to do a better job of selling the organization and the position itself. Now, we identified through this process, and of course, in a few days of conversations with EB managers, gaps between employment branding and job descriptions. It's a shocker, I know. And looking at the poll results, it was really clear to us that employment branding is still fighting the good fight in an attempt to have more control over that job description. Now, with that in mind, we ask our branding colloquium, our marketing and branding colloquium, to do a small team exercise that focused on two aspects of the identified issue. One, how does employment branding currently influence the writing, the presentation, and the messaging of those job descriptions? And two, how should employment branding be involved? Now, the areas where employment branding is making the most headway tends to be in identifying the gaps between a traditional or an old-fashioned job description and one that does a better job marketing to the candidate. Another surprise, right? Now, working with HR and hiring managers, employment brand professionals are actually influencing a couple of things. They're getting leg in consistency, right? From order of elements. That's the voice, the tone, the actual delivery. They're looking at decentralized governance. Everyone wants to contribute, but guess what? Nobody really wants to own the job description. Everybody wants their fingerprints on it, but nobody wants the full responsibility of it. They're tackling the globalization of those descriptions, getting some harmony across not just functions and disciplines, but of course across the globe. There's a balance of information that they're taking on, and they're actually trying to address an issue of people applying for jobs that just simply aren't a match for them. Now, if you're not filling in any of these gaps yet, it's time that you start pulling together an argument and actually building your case to get involved. Now, what comes after this, of course, is a wish list. How should employment branding be involved in the job description writing, the presentation, and the messaging? And some of the ideas that came out of our meeting and this discussion included a few of these things. The first was treat employment branding as a center of excellence, center of experience, center of whatever you want to call it, and encourage hiring managers to make use of those resources. Developing a competitive practice playbook complete with guidelines and examples of really good descriptions that include key components or outlines, such as job title optimization, search engine optimization, and even visual enhancements that complement that JD. Another would be all job descriptions should be reviewed by an employment brand manager with an eye on authenticity and SEO, search engine optimization. Employment branding should also regularly audit job descriptions once they've been posted. It's not a post and forget. This stuff gets away from you. Trust me. We should champion a broader shift away from job descriptions and towards what we're calling job advertisements. These advertisements are crafted entirely for the external candidate audience and really shouldn't include internal colloquialisms or acronyms or even traditional lists of job responsibilities that might not mean anything to an external candidate. The idea here, folks, is we've got to put ourselves in the candidate's shoes. What do they want to know about the job? We've got to include points about how the right candidate will influence the position to help candidates truly picture themselves in that role. And finally, the idea that we should be teaming up with your site analytics people to track user behavior that can help you prioritize content and even personalize the experience on your career site. If you've been to a colloquium meeting, then you know that the large group sharing often results in additional resources, vendors, services, etc. being shared around the room. You can head out to cxr.works and log in as a member. You can grab all of the content out of the library that was actually shared for those 2 days that we spent together, as well as head into the new technology index or vendor index section that lists all of the vendors and services that our over 120 member companies are actually using to help tackle this challenge, and even check out the ratings and reviews that have been left.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Career Crossroads. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. And for more great content and to stay up to date, visit careerxroads.com, facebook.com, and twitter.com/careerxroads. We'll catch you next time.